want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this Sabbath morning. We're thankful for the many visitors that have come also this morning to be with us, to worship our God. We've got time now for an exchange of greetings. From Brunswick Hills, thank you very much. Thank you. From Kitchener, Strasburg. From Norton, thank you. From Michigan. Is that Beverly Hills? Good. Thankful to have you back home. Thank you. Thank you. Some from the Cervantes family, from Tecate. Lord willing, my family and I and Sister Melanie would be traveling to California to the Labor Day retreat and then to Tecate next weekend, so we'd like to take the church's greetings. Thank you. And for those that would be returning to their churches, please take the hearty greetings from the Ancaster brethren here. Couple of announcements. Focus for the month of August is still the European projects, Eastern European projects. The details are on the board there. Let's keep Sister Betty Weinhardt in our prayers and visit her as the Lord opens the door for that. She's in the nursing home right now and Brother Conrad's at home, so extra prayers for them would be appreciated, and some visits, I'm sure, also would be helpful. September looks pretty packed here. September the 2nd is the Mansfield Youth Sing, for those that feel youthful and would like to go to Mansfield for the weekend of Labor Day. There's also the Labor Day Retreat in California, if you'd like to take a plane ride. Then the ministers and elder brothers would be getting together on the weekend of September the 9th for the biannual OMEC meeting, so let's keep that in prayer. Then we have family night on the 16th of September, and then the 23rd is the Ontario Sing in Windsor, and then the Syracuse Fall outing on the last weekend in September, the 29th. Those are the announcements. We'll email them out as usual. If you have any questions, please come see me. But let's pray for Brother Fred as he'd be used this morning to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Let's bow our heads and invite the Lord. Loving Father in heaven, with grateful hearts, Lord, do we come into your house of worship this morning. Lord, having received an opportunity of grace, O Father in heaven, once more to gather in fellowship around your living word, O Father in heaven, that we can praise thee in song, that we can learn of thee as we did in Bible class. And Lord, as we look forward to this morning, looking into your word once more, and this afternoon, we thank you for these opportunities. Father, we pray that you would draw us into your presence, and gather our often distracted thoughts, O Father in heaven, around your living word, and let us realize, Lord, that the things of this world are only for a short time, and Lord, that your word and the things contained therein and the promises are for all eternity. Let us weigh this in the balances, Lord. Let us renew our mind because of these things, O Father in heaven, and we ask thee now to be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to read from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. The account that we're going to read follows the death of Moses, the beloved leader that took the children of Israel out of the bondage, the slavery of Egypt, and brought them right to the border of the promised land, but not to go in himself. That was given to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto the words in all that thou hast commanded him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. I've read to the end of the chapter. Let's praise the Lord with hymn 177. 177.
I praise my Savior.
On bended knee we come before thee, Almighty God, for thou art worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Thou art the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one that always has been and always will be, the one that has created every detail of this universe and knows us intimately well. We're thankful, Lord, that we can sit at thy feet for learning right now. We're thankful for Brother Fred that is willing to share what thou hast placed on his heart and be a useful mouthpiece in your hand. And we pray, Lord, that thy word would have already pierced into our heart and would have already made an abide there, and that thy spirit now would work in a mighty way, that thy word would become alive to each one of us, and that the needs of all that have come this morning would be met because we come in faith believing in you, the one that knows us so well. We pray, Lord, for our friends, Lord, that they would come to the realization that it's by your Son's blood, Jesus Christ, that was shed on Calvary, that they can be made white as snow, and they can come in right standing with you, and they can be a child of yours. And for those that have walked in faith and by faith for many years, we pray, Lord, that you would care for us and that you would guide us and direct us and continue to give us the purpose and the reason and the unction to live for you each and every day of our lives, fully surrendered to what you would want us to do each and every day. And we pray, Lord, that we'd be able to discern thy will in all things and that we might be able to put Satan behind us when he would cast doubt and thoughts into our minds. We thank you, Lord, now for this, and we pray, Lord, now for a quietness of heart and mind that we might be able to hear you speaking to us. And we pray it all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Loved ones, in this chapter, find it interesting that God spoke directly to Joshua. We might wonder what it's like when God speaks directly to someone. He didn't speak through a prophet. He didn't speak through Moses. The time had come when God would confront Joshua directly to speak to him. We don't know if it was audible, whether he just felt these words. It doesn't really matter, but we have the words to consider what Joshua heard and what was spoken to him. We know that God is very direct. And perhaps Joshua already knew that Moses had died. Maybe he didn't, but this is how God told him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over and cross Jordan. They had come to that border that separated the promised land from that 40-year journey that they were on. 40 years they had toiled in desert places, and only by the grace of God and by the providence of God, did they survive, much less come to that border. And now that last hurdle, it was a big thing. Moses was dead, the one they trusted, the one they relied on. Even, I believe that even Joshua probably was shaken by that. No one expected that it would not be Moses that would lead them into the promised land. But it was the way God had seen fit for things to be. Moses was dead to the people of Israel. Moses was dead to Joshua. But Moses was not dead to God. It was Jesus who said that God is not a God of the dead, but of the living in Matthew. When he was speaking of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm sure Moses is included in that. Moses was in the presence of God. He was alive with God. But what Israel had to do and what Joshua was asked to do was to lead them to the other side. Crossing Jordan, it's kind of a line. We probably, most of us or some of us, know of that hymn, Crossing Jordan. A dividing line. A dividing line that was used before in the Bible when Moses was in the desert and confronting sin within the people of Israel. And he drew a line and said that he that is on the Lord's side be on this side, and he that isn't be on the other side. So sometimes a land is used for that border, and sometimes a river is used. I know in American history, there's a famous part of American history, early history, that shows George Washington crossing the, I'm not sure if it's the Delaware or the Potomac River. Our American friends probably would know better that history. But it is a part of history. It was important. It was an important event that led to the founding of their country, as far as I remember. And crossing Jordan can also be a great event in our lives. Crossing Jordan is when we make a commitment to live on the other side, in that promised land that God has given, that has promised all those that will trust and obey him. And life can be complicated at times, and it is, but following the Lord is not complicated. Crossing Jordan isn't really complicated, as God was trying to tell Joshua here. Crossing Jordan can be easy for the children of Israel and for Joshua, and it can be easy for you and I and those who have not made that crossing. And that is to simply trust and obey. I believe what God was telling Joshua here, when he spoke of a number of times to be strong and to be of good courage, he was really saying to him, you have me. You have me. And I think for those that have not made that crossing of Jordan, you can hear the same words. God will speak the same words to you. You have me. And God said that to Joshua when he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You're not going over. You're not making that crossing alone. And when you get to the other side, you're not going to be alone. I remember in my life, the two words really that changed me, that brought me to the other side, that crossed Jordan for me, were the words when I prayed, and I didn't even realize at the time until after I had said them. And the two words were, I will. I will follow you, Lord. I will follow you. And what I felt after I had said those words was a great peace. Was a great peace, and I realized that, and I felt a great burden lifted. Because without fully realizing, but then I heard the words within me say, I will, that I realized that I had made a commitment. I had made a commitment to go to the other side, to cross. And I realized that how true the cross of Jesus Christ really is, that says that burdens are lifted at Calvary. The cross became real, more real than any time before. And I felt the assurance. I felt the assurance that Joshua felt and the words that I that you have me, that as I was with Moses, I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. It's hard to make a commitment on your own. And it was hard for Joshua to make that commitment to lead the people to the other side. But even in making a commitment, God has his promises that he will not forsake us, that he will lead us, and that he will keep us. And he encourages us. In Isaiah, we read, "For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee." What encouragement. What encouragement. I looked up courage, something that talks about a number of times here as the Lord was trying to encourage Joshua to be courageous. And that's exactly what he did. Courage is, the dictionary says, that quality of mind which enables a person to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear. So it's what stood out to me in that meaning is that the quality of mind that enables a person to reach that point. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the Bible talks about. That God has promised to all those that will decide to cross, and those that have crossed, he will continue to hold your hand. He will continue to guide you and to help you. On Wednesday, we heard as we're meditating on in the Gospel of John that a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. And these are the words of Jesus. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Making that crossing, making that commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ, no longer just a fan, but a follower of Jesus Christ, does take courage. And you have to be strong. But God doesn't ask us to be strong within ourselves to draw from our own strength, which many people, including myself, realized I had very little, if any. But God, as he says in Timothy, to be strong in his grace. In Timothy, we read, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Not strong within ourselves, but strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, from where all our help and strength comes from, the Word of God says. "Thou therefore," and it also says, "thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That is part of being courageous, part of being strong, that God repeats so many times in this chapter. And what takes away from that strength, what takes away from that courage, is when we become entangled with the affairs of this world. We talked about that this morning in Bible class when we talked about service. We were reading in Romans and in Corinthians about not being conformed to this world. Yet we live in the world. But how do we keep from being conformed to this world? And that is to not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. One of the questions we didn't come to, it says, does God ever place obstacles in our path if he's leading the way? And I believe he never does. We read of the children of Israel. As they crossed into the promised land, God had removed all the obstacles. He had removed the people that owned the land at that time. And it was with God's help and God's grace that they came into this land. So did they live there happily ever after? No, they didn't. As long as they obeyed God, as they were instructed to, as Joshua was commanded to teach the people, don't turn from his commandments. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, that you will prosper, that you will have good success. It's not God that turns the people. It's not God that turns us to the right or to the left. We ourselves entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life when we don't withdraw from them at a point where usually the Spirit tells us, that's far enough. That's enough. Don't go any further. Pull back. God will never entangle us. Rather, he will help us. He will continue to hold our hand. Even when we fight the good fight of faith, we don't fight it alone. We go with him. We go with him. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We do it for him, not for ourselves. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. Brother Willie said, in order for God to be recognized, our service has to be for others, not for ourselves. And how true that is. How true that is. And these come from the teachings of God. And who doesn't want to have good success? Who doesn't want to have prosperity, to be prosperous on the way? And that was always God's intention for his people. To live in a land where they were free. They weren't slaves any longer. Enslaved for 400 years. And then toiling in the desert place for 40 more. And here they were at the Jordan River, ready to cross Jordan. How upbeat it must have been. And the people were upbeat too. The people wanted it. And even said to Joshua, we will do what you said, what the Lord told you. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. How upbeat we were that crossed Jordan, that made a commitment. And we felt the same way. But along the way, we at times failed. I know I have. And have come short, even though my intentions were good. But those are the times when we didn't hold his hand and we didn't let him help us. As we read, for I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He wants to help us every day. He wants to help us in the big things. He wants to help us in the little things. And he wants us to be steadfast in that commitment that we've made. And even in being steadfast, he'll be our helper even in that. As he says to us in Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we do our service heartily as unto the Lord, as was stated in Bible class, and we do it unto the Lord, and we take the focus off of ourselves, and then we begin more to realize the words of, of John the Baptist when speaking about Jesus, where he said, he must increase and I must decrease. And that is part of the battle. God is with us. In Galatians we read, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. With the yoke of bondage. How many times as the Israelites were going in that desert place on the way to the promised land, only seeing desert before them and heat, thinking they would rather return. And there was quite a group that said, we would rather return to Egypt than to die here in the desert. They had forgotten the promises that God had made to Moses, that he would lead them, that he would provide for them, that he would bring them in the promise to the promised land. Maybe they didn't have enough patience. Maybe they were looking at themselves rather than others. We don't know, but that is the human trait we all fall into at times. It is only by God's grace that we can keep ourselves from being entangled in the affairs of this world that would rob us of the richness of that grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the strength is in his grace, not in ourselves. How strong is his grace? What are the limits of his grace? Those are things God wants us to ponder on. And that too will take the focus off us. That we don't have to be strong. We just have to look to his grace. And receive that encouragement that only he can give. That he will be with us, that he will not forsake us. Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever thou goest. Any place, any time. Don't be swayed from the direction toward which God has called you. If he has called you to be a follower, don't be afraid. Don't be swayed. It is the best choice we could ever make. The children of Israel, when they experienced the blessings of that land that God had provided for them, that land described as that flowed with milk and honey, the best of things at that time. How blessed they were and how they must have rejoiced, how different it was really. They had freedom, they had everything, they had the best of everything. God had made them free and God had provided for them. And as long as they stayed on the course, as long as they meditated therein, as long as they observed to do all that is written therein, they prospered. And when they strayed, when they entangled themselves, and they left the precepts and laws of God, they experienced problems no different than the Christian life today. God has showed us the way. How to do it. He has showed us the way that we do it in simplicity. As he says, you have me. When you're down, when you're confronted with problems, when you're confronted with medical issues, financial strains, whatever it may be that arises in this life, how good it is to be able to say and hear the words, God speaking, you have me. You have me. And it all comes with trusting and obeying the word of God. And in closing, I'd like to read the hymn that we all know, Trust and Obey. How simple it really is. Brother Frank Balser was saying at the funeral of Brother Matt Bauman how this was his favorite hymn, how he kept the advice in the gospel so simple. He said, you only have to know two words. You only have to remember two words to get to heaven, and that is trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends us, we'll go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.
Brother suggested him. all of us in life want to have good success. The problem is we measure success differently than the way God measures it. But God clearly said to Joshua that day, as Brother Fred elaborated on, this was a direct communication with Joshua, and he said, "And thou shalt have good success if you do these things that God had clearly laid out for him." And Brother Fred nicely summarized it in trust and obey in every aspect of our life, and then you will have good success the way God measures success. And that's the important thing. Trust and obey. From that initial step where we want to surrender our lives to him and give him the glory and make him Lord and Savior of our life, to the faithful steps that come thereafter. Trust and obey. There's no other way. That's what the Bible says, and we will have good success the way God sees it. This will conclude this morning's service. All are, of course, welcome to stay for lunch and then for afternoon service at 1:15.